We have arrived. Week one. We are here. It's game week. We're talking about it. We're excited. The adrenaline's there. Gosh, I love being a fan. Let's go get it. We're going to talk about what Paul Chryst needs to do to propel this team for the rest of the season on today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what is going on, everyone? Thank you so much for joining us. I am Ryan Herring, your host of Locked On Badgers. Really, really do appreciate just everything that, you know, we've done as a community building it up. We're going live today just to talk about week one. It's game week, so let's get it. I want to thank, again, just everybody for joining up, watching the shows on YouTube, podcasts, wherever you're doing this. And let's talk week one. Let's talk the game. Finally, we're here. Hi, Gorilla Connor. I see you, man. We're here, so we're going to talk about it. The biggest thing I want to start with is what Paul Chryst, what we need to do in week one to propel ourselves for the rest of the year. And I've got a minor gripe here with Chryst. I'm curious if you guys agree, disagree. I think one of his strengths and his weaknesses is he treats each game kind of like a mini Super Bowl, right? Like if he can beat a team 28-3 by running the ball 70 times, he'll do that. Even though you can use that game, right, to really get your team ready for the rest of the year. Instead of just beating that team and being content, you can be a little more strategic with it. I think it's something Chryst needs to get a little better at, right? And if you look at last year, you know, Eastern Michigan, they threw 17 times. Purdue, they threw 8 times. Illinois, 19. Army, 15. That's not enough. It's enough to beat those teams, but it's not enough to give your struggling passing games reps to get better. And I can see it last year, right? Last year, everything was kind of broken. The whole ecosystem felt off, but not this year. Like you have to use these first couple games, specifically this one, you know, you have to use this to set your team up for success the rest of the year. You can't throw the ball 12, 13, 14 times against Illinois State. Like Graham Mertz needs to be 50-50 as throwing and passing in the first half. You have to let them build some confidence, build some reps. He needs throws against a defense not wearing the motion W, right? He needs reps against a defense actually trying to hit him, you know, and they have to prepare. You can't not throw for 3 weeks and then go into the horseshoe, go into Columbus and say, all right, now Graham, we're going to need you 27, 30 times at night against the Buckeyes. That doesn't work. The other part of this too is, listen, Braylon Allen's fine. You don't have to ride him early in the year. You know, it's okay if he gets 15-ish carries. You know, those carries, we're going to need his legs later in the year against Iowa and Michigan State and Ohio State and, you know, tough defenses that are coming up. Yes, you could beat Illinois State by probably not throwing one pass. Probably not one, right? You know, you could do that, but it doesn't help your quarterback who, listen, Mertz has a lot of swagger and confidence, but we need to really go after them and build some reps and talk about the passing game. Everything is different this year, right? You have to put some reps out there for these new players and coaches to gel. If you think about it, seriously, now Mertz is the same, but aside from that, all of the elements of the passing game are different, right? Two new tackles, new offensive coordinator, new quarterbacks coach. Every single receiver that's going to see reps this year is in a different spot. You know, think about that, right? You know, DK was the number three guy last year, and he was probably as more talented than the two in front of him, but he wasn't the alpha, right? Marcus Allen wasn't the three. Skylar Bell wasn't the two. You know, Keontae Lewis was in California playing for UCLA. Dean Ingram was a cornerback. The top five top five receivers on this team are in different spots than they were last year with a new quarterbacks coach, a new offensive coordinator, two new tackles. Okay, you have to let them get real reps in this game, not because you need it to beat Illinois State, but because you're going to need to build consistency, confidence, repetition against, you know, defenses so that when you have to play Ohio State, you have to throw on 3rd-and-7. You can do it. Okay, and that's something Chryst has not done a great job of in recent seasons. He treats every game like its own little mini Super Bowl, which there's a strength in that, right? You're less likely to overlook a team, but I think you have to take a little more strategic look at Illinois State week one. Give Mertz, at least in the first half, like 50-50 reps, right? You're really good balance, pass-run balance. And low-key, that's also going to save reps on Braylon Allen's body, right? We saw what happened to him last year. He doesn't need to take needless hits against Illinois State. Okay, listen, football's football. I am not saying we limit Braylon Allen to 10 touches, right, because we're worried he's going to get hurt. You can't play football that way. But you don't need to lean on him super heavy. And it's, again, it's a great opportunity to give Mertz fresh start, right, clean off the dust from last year. Bobby Ingram's here. Let's give him another Illinois-type game where he can go out and he can come out of it feeling great. Couple comments. Badger and Bournemouth fan, appreciate you, man. You're on a lot of shows. Backup quarterbacks have to play in the first week, and I agree the Badgers have to throw more even if they're ahead. Yes, that's it. And your first point on that's dead on. That's the other thing I want to talk about. You know, this is another great opportunity to give Deacon Hill some reps, right? We already saw Chase Wolf's done. At some point this year, these quarterbacks get hurt. You know, when's the last time a Badger you're more likely to have Mertz miss time this year than never be hurt, right? So at some point, you're probably going to need Deacon Hill in this game. And when he comes in, don't just listen. I mean, him coming into handoff is, believe it or not, going to be valuable, right? He's never been in a game. He's a redshirt freshman. Even just taking the handoff and handing off is going to be super valuable reps for him. But you have to give him a couple opportunities to throw to. You don't have to be so conservative against bad teams where you just lean on the rush game. This should be a 40-point. You should hang 35, 38 minimum on Illinois State, okay? If this is a 24-7 win, if this is a, you know, even if it's a dominating fashion, it's going to be so disappointing. The offense has to be different this year. And it starts with Illinois State, right? Let Mertz throw it. We have playmakers on the outside. Let the two brand new tackles pass protect, right? Let the new tight ends get out in some open field situations where they have to make a play on third and four. You know, give Dean Ingram a chance on third and three to work a little button route or something to get a first down. You just have to give the passing game opportunities to grow. So that's my big rant. I'm probably beating it to death already. Let's bang out a couple comments here. I really do appreciate everyone joining in. We're going to do live more and more. We're definitely going to do live after every game this year. That's the plan. So it's going to be a big therapy session. I encourage everybody to join in. We're going to celebrate or cry together after all of them. Let's see. Cody H. on Wisconsin. I'm excited to see what changes may come to the play calling scheme. Yeah, man. We all are. And we have no idea, right? It's the great unknown of this season's offense. We have no clue what is going to happen with the passing game this year in terms of play calling, in terms of how they're going to utilize it, different route concepts. Personnel groupings. So yeah, we're all right there with you. Eat, drink, listen, friend of the show, another live, let's go. He wants to see Deacon Hill play action 55-yard bombs this week, going deep to Tommy McIntosh. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I don't think you're going to see that, man. I wish we would, but I don't think you are. Zach Ramsey, I feel like they're going to try to play conservative after a missed pass or two, not let Mertz live up to his hopefully higher ceiling. Yeah, that's my worry. Zach, man, thanks for the comment. That's it. That's my worry. You can't go into a shell against a team you're going to beat no matter what, right? You're going to beat them no matter what. So let Mertz make a couple mistakes. Let him get some reps and consistency and rhythm. And by the way, if he can't against Illinois State, then the season's a wash anyway, right? So, you know, that's, to me, I'm very excited, hopeful, nervous, worried, all of the above in terms of how play calling is going to look, because we just have no idea. So coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about Illinois State, right? I have an Illinois State guest coming on later this week. We're going to really chop them up a little bit. Remember, you can't overlook anybody. We've seen some crazy things in college football. So we're going to talk a little Illinois State, maybe a little what they have, and maybe if they could threaten the Badgers somewhere. That's coming up next on Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all of your sports betting needs and information. Online, live Vegas casino games, blackjack, roulette. Great opportunity. I'm a sports fan of many teams, right? I'm a baseball, basketball, football, NBA. So if you have a good lean on somebody for futures, you know, you really can lean into it. Like if you think the Western Conference in the NBA is going to lean a certain way, you know, maybe you had Kevin Durant going somewhere. This is a great opportunity. Do it responsibly. Of course, do it responsibly, but take a couple dollars, you know, lay it on the Suns. That's my team, right? If you think the Suns, you know, finals 2 years ago, Western Conference final 1 year ago, they're getting slept on a little bit now. Maybe put a little money on the Suns, or if you think the Badgers are going to be over under that 8.5 magic number we've always talked about, BetOnline is your place to do it. Also, live in-game betting and coverage from all sports, from football to golf, everything in between. Grab your mobile device today, head to the website, learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's jump in Illinois State a little bit. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, listening. You all are so awesome. We're continuing to build this community. Coming up after week one, we're going to do our first Badger giveaway. As a reminder, that's going to be done in our Discord channel. We'll link that to the show. If you're not in there, jump in there. All the giveaways will be in there. They're 100% free, no strings attached, just a way to say thank you to everybody tuning into the show. First week's going to be a James White autographed rookie card. So that's going out. Yeah, and just, again, a way to say thank you. Join the Discord to qualify to get the free giveaways. Let's talk Illinois State. So, you know, it's one of those things where not a powerhouse program, obviously. They were 4-7 last year in the Missouri Valley Conference, you know, but it feels like the right season to have a cupcake to start, right? It just feels like the right season with a bunch of offensive coaching turnover, a bunch of new faces in different spots. There's a lot of experience coming back on defense, but a lot of players in different roles needing to step up. It feels really, really good to me to kick it off with an Illinois State who's a cupcake. But on the cupcake scale, they're not the worst. You know, not a great team last year, but they're coached by Brock Spak, who is 89-60 overall there. So they have a good program for that level of football. It's not a school that is terrible. They put a couple players in the league, and it is somebody that, you know, you can get your you cut your teeth on a little bit and still feel pretty comfortable that almost no matter what happens, you're going to win. Interesting quote from Brock Spak, the Illinois State coach. I don't think we'll play a better team. I think this is the best team that I've seen since I've been here. And he's been there for a while, talking about the Badgers now. It's probably the best team that Illinois State has ever played. So it's always fun. You know, some of that's hyperbole. Some of that is they don't want to ever give bulletin board material to anybody. But it's always fun to be a fan of a program where other coaches are saying, that's the best team we'll ever play. We have never played a better team than that in the history of Illinois State. And I don't know how true or not that is, but you know what program no coach ever says that about? Minnesota, right? So it is really nice just to, again, Wisconsin has a lot of respect on its name. And even though we all get frustrated at times, you hear a coach at an Illinois State, a guy who's won 90 games there, say they'll never play a team better than Wisconsin in the history of their program. It does make you feel kind of good. So let's talk a little more Illinois State. Everybody remembers Zach Anikstead, right? The former Minnesota quarterback. He's transferred there, you know, and so he's going to be probably the starter. They've installed a new air raid motion system, right? Which I actually really like this, by the way. So three of their top four receivers are back. Their top running back's back, 1,000-yard guy. Zach Anikstead, who was a Big Ten, you know, decent quarterback, is there. So they have some juice in the passing game, especially for that level of football. And why I love this is we are breaking in new players all over our secondary, right? Hunter Wohler, even a guy like John Torchio. Torchio has played a bunch of ball, the jewelry thief, right? But he wasn't the dude in the secondary last year. You know, Nelson, Wilder. So we're breaking in a bunch of players in new spots. Obviously, the transfers, Jay Shaw, Alexander Smith on the team for, you know, he's a senior, but he's stepping into a new role as that cornerback one. Again, that alpha. I don't know how much he's actually going to play, by the way. I think there might be a little bit of smoke and mirrors there with the depth chart. Alexander Smith, but Jay Shaw, Cedric Dort, right? So I really like the idea that we're going up against a program, you know, that three or four receivers back, a Big Ten quarter, former Big Ten quarterback, bringing in an air raid system. I think it's going to put a little bit of stress in our secondary, at least to begin with. You want to work out some of those, you know, those weak spots and work off some of that rust, you know, before you get to Ohio State, ideally, before you get to Washington State, you know. So as, you know, Zach Ramsey had a really good comment. And again, I'm going to get to all the comments. Zach Ramsey talked about, Washington State week two will be a really good test for the DBs. Cam Ward, by the way, low key, and I know this is Illinois State, we're going to talk a ton of Washington State next week. But Zach brought it up. Cam Ward, the Washington State quarterback, I was watching his highlights the other day. That he's a dude, right? So it is really nice to play kind of an air raid team week one, even if it's not a very good one, work out some of those mistakes and get ready for Cam Ward, Washington State week two. So yeah, that's going to be interesting. On defense, Illinois State brings back most of their linebackers, kind of a veteran group. So it's not a total walkover, right? And we have seen Appalachian State go into the Big House, beat Michigan, right? We saw Wisconsin almost lose to Cal Poly in the Bielema years where, I mean, if not for an atrocious kicking job by the Cal Poly kicker, they probably beat us in Camp Randall. Like, I mean, that's one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life. And so, you know, you can never overlook anybody. Wisconsin should absolutely pace Illinois State. Again, I have an Illinois State beat writer coming up on the show. I think That'll probably air Thursday, so we're definitely going to dive into it. Again, I think it's a really a good opportunity for the secondary against that air raid offense to kind of get some reps in. So we're going to talk about that later this week. Let's bang out some comments. Again, really appreciate – I can't say it enough. I try to, guys. It's humbling for anybody to spend any time listening. Time's the most valuable thing we have. So, yeah, this is all about all of us, right, building this community. And I say that a lot because I mean it a lot. All right, let's do Cody H. Great idea for post-game live show. Yeah, guys, we're going to do post-game live show. The plan is after every single game of the year. Probably go like 30 minutes, start it up 30 minutes after the game, and we're just going to chop it up and go into it, right? And we're just going to react, and it's going to be a therapeutic session, good or bad, for all of us. So I'm as excited for that as anybody. Gorilla Connor, if we go 6-6 this year, is Chris getting fired? No, absolutely not. Chris has, and by the way, I don't think he should either. Like, there's moments where I'm harsh on Paul Chryst, but Paul Chryst, his winning percentage, there are programs out there that would burn their stadium down to bring in a coach with that type of winning percentage. So we can be super critical of some stuff, and there's stuff he does that drives me nuts, but let's not lose sight of the fact that he's winning at like a 70% clip in Madison. So yeah, it would take way more than a 6-6 season for Paul Chryst to even be in the hot seat, let alone be fired. Zach Ramsey, yeah, let's see. Anything else on comments? Some comments saying, again, if he goes 7-5, he should be gone, Gorilla Connor. I just don't see it. I really don't. Badger Boremouth, the O and D lines are what usually separates us from lower division teams in the Power 5. Yeah, so in this Illinois State game, that's going to be the case, right? But that's where I go back to say the offensive line is going to open up every single hole for Braylon Allen. Like, Braylon Allen could run backwards for 200 probably in this game, but we can't fall back on that because it's easy. And I know you're not saying that, but that's what Paul Chryst tends to do. We can't fall on that sword. We have to, as an offense, stress our passing game a little bit. We have to make it grow. You have to put it out there. Otherwise, it never gets better. And there's no better opportunity than week one against an Illinois State team that's going to be overmatched. Right, you have to give Mertz opportunities here, because what ends up happening is we don't. Typically in the past, we haven't given those opportunities to the passing game against lesser teams, and then suddenly we're in a dogfight. We're playing a team better than us, and we're asking Mertz to throw 28, 29, 30 times, and we really haven't prepared him for that. So, yeah, our offense and defensive line should bury Illinois State. I totally agree with that point, but you got to throw it still. So, yeah, I think I've hit that one multiple times. I'm not going to keep going on that one. Cody H., can we all just agree that we want Jim Leonard as the head coach so we can see how he affects the recruiting stream? You know, yeah, I mean, I would love Jim Leonard as the head coach, but I see no foreseeable path for that to happen anytime soon. So I think we would recruit better. I think he would hire really interesting people, you know. But again, I actually think Paul Chryst, for the most part, does a good job. Like, I'm not as low on him as some other people are. Like, he the culture that he builds is really important, right? Let's not overlook that. Yeah, it's a big culture builder. I think that matters. And there's a consistency about him that, while at times it drives you nuts, that consistency, I think, also keeps us from ever bottoming out. So yeah, there's a lot of good there. And I never want to lose sight of that, because I have other teams that are sometimes terrible, and the Badgers are never terrible, which gives me comfort in the night. Jay Daly, people need to be a little patient Saturday night. They can't start with the boos if he misses his first couple of passes. Yes. First of all, booing, I am so, you know, for every anyone who buys a ticket, takes the time to show up, you absolutely have the right to boo if you feel like you need to. I have never been a boo person, right? Like, I just feel like if it's, as long as the effort's there, as long as the want to's there, if a player is not executing and they're in their home stadium and they're in their home crowd and people are booing them, I've always felt like you're just exasperating the problem. I get the frustration. Trust me, I'm a fan like everybody else. I go into depression after losses. But I hope you're right, Jay. I don't think they need to be booing them if he misses a couple passes, because it's not going to help. It just hurts, right? So I agree. All right, we're going to jump into another break. I'm going to hit all these comments if I can get them. I am trying to nail them all because, again, I really appreciate it. Coming up next on Locked On Badgers, we're talking, and I'm curious about all your takes on this too, so leave these in the comments. I am curious about which players are you most excited about week one. I have a list. I'm going to talk about my list a little bit, then I'm going to kick it over to you. See who you put in the comments for the players you are most excited to see in a new role, a bigger role, or for the first time in a Wisconsin jersey week one. That's coming up next on Locked On Badgers. All right, everybody. Thank you again for making Locked On Badgers one of your first listens every day, whether you're listening to us on a podcast, whether you're watching on YouTube. Again, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And it is game week. Like, you feel that excitement, right? That thing that you just can't quite quantify. Like, we are counting down the days, and I am so excited. So let's talk about one of the things I want to talk about, and I want your take on this. I want to chop it up. What is, who are the 2, 3, 4, 5, however many players you're really excited to see this year, right? For either the first time in a new role, first time in the Wisconsin jersey, first time as a starter. Let me give you my couple, and I'm curious to see where you guys want to go. So Skylar Bell is number one on my list. I am so excited to see the receivers in general. But Skylar Bell's out from kind of my neck of the woods, right? He's a New England guy. So I'm excited anyway for that. But you see some of the highlights, man, his ability to make acrobatic catches, explosiveness. And then he really took that number two spot. And by the time the depth chart came out, like coming in, if you remember after last year, everybody was like Marcus Allen. He's the next dude. And I was that guy. And then Keontae Lewis came in. I was like, ooh, like him too. Skylar Bell jumped up. And by the time the depth charts came out, there was no surprise. He's the number two. And I think I'm really excited to see how they use him this year. Riley Mallman. Yeah, I love big, giant offensive linemen. I love Wisconsin offensive linemen just dominating the line of scrimmage. And, you have this 6'8", 6'7", 315-pound athletic monster. He was just a baby growing into it. I can't wait to see how he looks. I think there's going to be moments where he's a little high. People get under his pads. There's going to be moments where maybe he's a little eager. I think he's going to be a stud. And I'm so excited. They asked Bo Stead about him. And one of the things he said, they were like, do you like Mallman? And I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact quote. But Bo Stead was like, he's 6'8", 320. Bo Stead's like, yeah, I like him. He's a giant human being who moves really well. I think he's a star. I can't wait to see him play. Darryl Peterson's on my list. Darryl Peterson is a guy coming out of high school that was just a straight chaos agent, right? A wrecking ball. And I am so excited to see him unleashed this year. They got little glimpses last year in the bowl game against Arizona State. You can tell the coaches are high on him, coming in. And he's going to be the guy. We talked about the outside linebacker rotation, right? It's Herbig on one side as the stud. It's Getz on the other side as like the run stuffer. Getz his job, and God love him. Like, this is this incredibly important job on the defense. But his job is to get the opposing offense in the position where we use Darryl Peterson as a pass rusher, right? Getz his job is to, get the opposing offense in second and seven, and then we're going to unleash Darryl Peterson and whatever else Jim Leonard wants to do. So I'm very, very excited for Darryl Peterson. Jordan Turner is another guy. And then I'm almost done with my list, I promise, because I want to see who are you guys excited to see for the first time? Jordan Turner is an athletic freak show. He is one of the fastest inside linebackers, if not the fastest inside linebacker we've had in a long time. So I'm very excited to see, what kind of breakout he has and what he looks like in the middle of that defense, replacing some real studs. And that's it. Like, that's my list. Who are you guys interested to see this year? I'm just going to look at the comments quickly. Let's see. Receivers, I see Isaac Grendo. Jay Daly said Isaac Grendo. Want to see how they use him. Lots of jet sweeps and fakes. Yeah, Grendo is super interesting, right? I've said a couple times, I think he's a potential X factor. Definitely a player that his size and speed, he reminds me of Tevin Coleman. I've said that before, the former Indiana back, by the way, who carved up Ohio State when he was at Indiana. A 220-pound guy with track speed. It's interesting to me that they're using him at kick returner, trying to obviously find ways to get the ball in his hands, because Braylon Allen is going to take 65% of the carries, right? If you think about backfield distribution, you have to give Braylon Allen 60, 65% of competitive carries when the game's in balance. Chez Mulusi is going to take 20 or 30%. I mean, there's just not many left for Grendo because of that top two. So yeah, jet sweeps, screen game, kick return, really excited about that. Let me see just a couple of our comments quick. I'm not going to be able to get to them all today, guys, and I really appreciate and apologize for not being able to get to them all. Mitchell Lacey, how many losses put Chris on the hot seat? I got to be honest, Mitchell, and I appreciate the comment. I think he could lose 6-7 games and not be on the hot seat. I really do. I think there's so much goodwill. Wisconsin's not a reactionary program anyway. Chris McIntosh and him have a great relationship. He would have to lose a lot of games to be on the hot seat. And I just don't see it happening. This team is too good. Jay Daly again. This team goes 7-5 if Mertz goes down and he'll have to come in. 8-4 is the worst case scenario for the season. I disagree. So I hear you. I totally hear you. I think this team's really good, but I don't think there's a very real possibility if Mertz gets hurt, which happens, right? Quarterbacks get hurt a lot, that Deacon Hill and or Miles Burkett are just complete disasters. I mean, just complete disasters. And if that's the case, you could lose to Nebraska. Honestly, you could lose to Nebraska. You could lose to Minnesota, Iowa, Northwestern, Michigan State. If the quarterback play, I'm just saying, worst case, if the quarterback, if Mertz gets hurt, the quarterback play could be atrocious. It could be way worse than last year. So just prepare yourself for that. And I think we're going to wrap it up here pretty soon. A couple more comments. Badger and Bournemouth, Ryan, if I had to pick one player that is unknown that will step up this year, who would it be? One unknown player. That's a great question. And I want to hear your guys' comments on this. What is one unknown player nobody's talking about that if he steps up this year, who would it be? You know, I think it might be Cade McDonald. If we're talking about somebody that's not expected to do much, you know, there's a lot of new people on the defensive line, defensive end spots. Cade McDonald's a 6'6 guy, 290. He's pretty athletic. Now in the two deep, you know, and you have Rodus Johnson and James Thompson who really haven't proven a ton on the field. There's an opening there if Cade McDonald can get on the field and pry away some reps that he might really steal some time. So that's an interesting one to me. TM3389 says we need to win the West, finish with 10 wins. Anything less will feel like a failure. Yeah, that's interesting. Anything less than 10 wins would feel like a failure. I don't know if 9 wins would feel like a failure to me. It wouldn't feel like a great season. But I think 9 wins, I'm still feeling okay. I would have to see how those wins happen. But yeah, that's an interesting one. That's very possible. All right, guys. I think we're going to wrap it up. I really do appreciate it. There's a bunch more comments. I'm still working through some of the issues of doing a live show. So I'm going to get better at that, reading comments for sure. But thank you all so much for making Locked On Badgers one of your first listens. I am just so excited for the season. We're going to keep building the community. As a reminder, if you want to join the Discord, we are going to start doing our giveaways on there. First one up is going to be a James White autographed rookie card. If you need the link to the Discord, I'll send it out on Twitter again, but we'd love to have you on there. There's no strings, cost nothing. It's just a way for me to say thank you because I really do appreciate you all so much. And with that, on Wisconsin, we're going to talk to you guys tomorrow. We got John Garcia coming up tomorrow. We're going to talk recruiting visits, the quarterbacks coming in Madison. So look forward to that. And then from there, we have an Illinois State guy coming on. So that should be the Thursday show. And Friday, I'll probably get Justin on and maybe do a bit of a roundtable with some other Badger guys. And we'll just chop it up. Let me know if I can do anything to make this better. I'm always here for Discord or feedback, trying to get better for just the community. And with that, on Wisconsin, appreciate everybody tuning in, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.